to the hearts of our kids, that you would raise up a generation of children that love you, seek you, are passionate for you, the desire to live wholeheartedly for you. God, we need you to do that work, and we ask that you would be faithful too. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your Son. We lift up Gene to you this morning as he prays, as he speaks to us, God, that you would just use him for your glory. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to Second Service. Thanks for being here today. Chris and the worship team, we thank you for your thoughtful choice of music to set the stage for what I'm about to share. Most of you know who I am, but some don't. I'm Gene Davis, one of the elders here, and my lovely wife is over here. Her name is Frances. And she's definitely the better part of the deal. That's no doubt about that. We have a small ranch up in the Black Forest area. And as we've had horses for a lot of years, we've learned some truths about horses. And that is that there's two kinds of cowboys. One that have been thrown, one that have been thrown, and one that's going to be thrown. We happen to be in the first part of that camp, both of us, but not everybody will have cancer, but we'll all experience severe trials sometime in our life. My challenge to you is to think about how you will handle those trials when they do come into our life. To be honest with you, if I see a blessings line and I see a trials line, guess one which one I'll get in. The blessings line every time. Although I've learned that God doesn't always put us in the blessings line. Sometimes he puts us in the trials line. Oftentimes in our life, and probably for all of us, there will be trials that will be coming in to our life. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." As believers in Jesus Christ, at the point that we became a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came into our life. Consequently, we have the possibility of having the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Joy is one of those fruit of the Spirit. It's a very important fruit of the Spirit. And God, in his sovereignty, brings trials into our life to test us and to allow us to be joyful in those trials and those challenging times in our life. Sometimes I think I probably have read through that scripture and said to myself, "My, that is a very nice saying, isn't it?" It is a nice saying, but it's much more than a saying. It's the true word of God, the Bible, the gospel. The fact that when we do get involved in trials, when God brings trials into our life, we can choose to be joyful. Sometimes people get that get that truth faster than others. With myself, I'm a little slow. You know, I wrestled a lot, so I landed on my head a lot, so I'm kind of slow at times, you know. But the point is that that we really need to take that truth to our own hearts. Most of you know, recently I've gone through prostate cancer and prostate cancer treatment, and recently finished radiation at Penrose, Maine. 27 treatments Monday through Friday, every week for about 6 weeks or so. The radiation oncologist is pretty confident that the treatment was successful, and we'll have a follow-up in about 6 months to determine if that was or not. I've had numerous medical challenges through my life. Some of them self-imposed through the sport of wrestling, where injuries happened, and I've probably had, I think, around 17 surgeries altogether in my life. So I've had opportunities to have a few challenges and opportunities to be a witness for the Lord in those circumstances. Recently, our friend Pat sent us an article from John Piper on the eve of his prostate cancer surgery. It was years ago, but it was very helpful to go through those points and to pray through them and to be inspired by them. And I wanted to share those with you this morning. And you say, well, you know, I probably don't have, and I probably won't have cancer. But all of us are going to be involved in trials in our lives. So I wanted to share that. I'm not a Baptist, so we're not going to be having 3 points, but we are having 10 points. So you get a lot more for your money this morning. Such a deal. This is the introduction to these points from Pastor Piper. I write these on the eve of prostate surgery. I believe in God's power to heal by miracles and by medicine. I believe that it is right and good to pray for both kinds of healing. Cancer is not wasted when it is healed by God. He gets the glory, and that's why cancer exists. So not to pray for healing may waste your cancer. But healing is not God's plan for everyone. And there are many other ways to waste your cancer. I am praying for myself and for you that we will not waste this pain. Point one says, you will waste your cancer if you do not believe it is designed for you by God. It will not do to say that God only uses our cancer, but does not design it. What God permits, he permits for a reason. And that reason is his design. It is right to call this purpose a design. He can heal cancer if he wants to. If he does not, it has a purpose. Since he is infinitely wise, it is so when he strikes Job with boils. Job attributes it ultimately to God, and the inspired writer agrees. They comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Job 42:11. How about Joseph? He may have been a favored son, but his life was filled with disappointment, mistreatment, rejection, and fear and false accusations by slavery and abandonment and a lot of other things. I just finished in my reading the whole book of Genesis, and a lot of that is about Joseph and Jacob and Joseph's brothers and what went on, you know, with that whole situation with what God allowed and brought into Joseph's life. In Joseph's life, pain shaped him for greatness. It knocked off some of the rough edges of his life. Later on, at the end of their their lives, Joseph said to his brothers, as for you, you meant it for evil for me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Genesis 50:20. And we know that the fact was that a lot of people starved to death because there was nothing to eat. And God used Joseph to, through a dream, to, in 7 years, provide a lot of food for all of Egypt. And as the brothers came, and eventually the whole family came, kept them alive. And God is sovereign in that. If you don't believe your cancer is designed for you by God, you will waste it. You will waste your cancer if you believe it is a curse and not a gift. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. Psalm 84:11 says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Now, when it says that our inner nature is being renewed day by day, that's not necessarily a guarantee. That's not necessarily a guarantee that that's happening. Because it's important for us as believers to be yielded to God, to be yielded to the Lord, to be dependent on him, to be in good communication with him and other believers. As we get older, our body wastes away. You're looking at one that's a little older, and my body's wasting away. But as we nurture our inner nature of with the Word and Christian fellowship, our inner nature is being renewed by the work of the Holy Spirit daily. We call that sanctification. Cancer is a slight, momentary affliction, and our other trials are as well, in light of eternity. Our whole life, you know, if we live 75 years, is pretty small compared to eternity. The number of years are pretty short compared to all of it. We think it's pretty long at times, but it's nothing, you know. And preparing us for the eternal weight of glory, eternity in heaven. Is that going to be great or what? Is that going to be glorious to worship God day and night, to have, man, just incredible to have all of our Christian brothers and sisters there. No cancer, no pain, no a lot of things that are bad. Nothing but great. The physical things on earth are passing away. Spiritual things are eternal. They're going into heaven with us, that relationship with God, relationship with other believers, the Word of God itself. Three, you will waste your cancer if you seek comfort from your odds rather than from God. The design of God in cancer is not to train you in rationalistic human calculations of odds. The world gets its comfort from odds, but not Christians. Some count their chariots, percentages of survival, and some count their horses, side effects of treatment. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 27. God's design is clear in 2 Corinthians 1:9. We felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely, not to rely on ourselves, but God who raises the dead. The main aim of God in our cancer, thousands of other things as well, is to knock props out from under our hearts so that we rely totally on Him. Knock props out from under our hearts so that we rely totally on Him. 4, you will waste your cancer if you refuse to think about death. One of the songs was talked about death. About 3 years ago, I had one of my privileges to be involved in a hospital stay. This one was a little longer than normal. Now they kind of, you know, if you get a knee replacement surgery, if you stay 2 nights, they're kicking you out and getting you going on your own, you know. This was 18 days, and I was a screaming Mimi at the end of that time, let me tell you. Francis and Pat will verify that for sure. But what happened was I just had anemia, and my red blood cells would not go up, and about 17 days into it, it wasn't looking very hot, you know. Francis said to me, are you ready to go home with the Lord right now? I said, I am. I don't really feel that God is done with us yet. I put us in there, so, you know, she was, you know, we're one, so it's us is there. Probably that afternoon, one of the surgeons came in and he said, this may sound crazy, which it sounded a little crazy to me, but he said, we're thinking about taking your spleen out because we think that will allow your red blood count to go up. And I said, Francis, and our son Mark was there, and I said, right now I'm not thinking real straight, so you guys are going to help me with this one, you know. They said, well, let's go for it. And took it out, and my red blood cells started increasing, and they've been up ever since, praise God. And we've had a chance to do some ministry in the meantime, for sure. We will all die if the Lord postpones His return. Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, it is better to go to the house of mourning, a funeral, than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind. The living will lay it to heart. How can you lay it to heart if you don't think about it? Psalm 98:12 says, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Numbering your days means thinking about how few there are and that they will end. How will you get a heart of wisdom if you refuse to think about this? What a waste if you do not think about death. 5, you will waste your cancer if you think about beating cancer means staying alive rather than cherishing Christ. Satan's and God's designs in your cancer is not the same. Satan designs to destroy your love for Christ. God's design is to deepen your love for Christ. Cancer cannot win if you die. It wins if you fail to cherish Christ. God's design is to wean you off of the world and feast you on the sufficiency of Christ. It is meant to help you say and feel, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Philippians 3:8. And to know that, therefore, to live is Christ and to die is gain, which is what Paul said in Philippians 1:21. Did Paul really mean this? I think he did. Did Paul suffer? We know he did. 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times they received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, less one. Less one because at 40 lashes, most people died. So they stopped just short of killing somebody every time they did that. Very nice, weren't they? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, danger from your own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure of me in my anxiety for all of the churches. When it talks about all those dangers, there was no place that he went that there wasn't danger. So he had to depend on God the whole time he was ministering. And what an example of a person that, what an example of a person that went through a lot of trials, you know, and he was in prisons often, and what was he doing? A lot of times he was singing. He was singing unto the Lord in those prisons, and chained to the guards, and a lot of different things. What a representative. 6, you'll waste your cancer if you spend too much time reading about cancer, not enough time reading about God. I have a friend. His name is Mike, and he is has a pancreatic cancer, and he for a number of years, actually, which is amazing that he's okay still, and yet he spends a lot of time reading about cancer and going to seminars, and I think a couple of seminars he's gone to as he talked to the doctors after the seminar was over and shared with them some of the things that he knew about. They had said to him, you know what, maybe you ought to be teaching these seminars on cancer because he knows so much about it. He's a professing Christian. He seldom, in fact, doesn't talk about God, doesn't talk about what he's learning in God's Word. He has spent all of his time finding out about cancer, you know, and that's not a good thing. It's not wrong to know about cancer. It's not wrong to know what your options are. Ignorance is not a virtue. But the lure to know more and more and the lack of zeal to know God more and more is symptomatic of unbelief. Cancer is meant to awaken us to the reality of God. It is meant to awaken us to the truth of Daniel 11:32. The people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. It is meant to make unshakable, indestructible oak trees out of us. Psalm 1:2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. 7, you'll waste your cancer if you let it drive you into solitude instead of deepening your relationships with manifest affection. This is confession time. This is a temptation of mine. When the heat's on, I want to be by myself. I want to be in solitude. My first impression isn't to run to somebody and start talking to them. I'm a nonverbal processor, you know. Now, we could have some fun with this one in this group, right? We could talk about verbal processors and nonverbal processors. And I bet you it's about 50-50 in here. I don't know about that because we're not worried about odds, right? because that's sinful, you know. No. But the point is, that's a temptation of mine. And God is helping me with that in my life. And Francis is helping me a little bit more. A little less than that as well in that area of my life. Nonverbal processors need to speak more, and verbal processors need to be quiet a little bit more. Now, that's not in the script. I'm getting really bad trouble here, you know. Francis says, now, don't get too far off the script here. So I'm already in trouble about 5 ways, or 20 ways, or 120 ways, you know. When Epaphroditus brought the gifts to Paul, sent by the Philippian church, he became ill and almost died. Paul tells the Philippians, he has been longing for you and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Philippians 2, 26 and 27. What an amazing response. It does not say that they were distressed that he was ill, but that he was distressed they heard he was ill. That's the kind of heart God is aiming to create in cancer, a deeply affectionate, caring heart for people. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. I've experienced this as I have much better understanding about this battle. You know, like it says, we're able to comfort others because we've gone through those afflictions ourselves. We've experienced it. We know it's going to hurt. We know it's going to be a trial. We know it's going to be a challenge to do those things. So we have empathy for other people. We have concern. We have compassion. You get in a waiting room in a cancer ward. You know, you're going to have some people that are sick. You're going to have some people that are probably not going to make it, you know. So there's lots of opportunities to be able to share in those situations. Don't waste your cancer by retreating into yourself. I say that to you. I say it a lot harder to me, myself. 8, you'll waste your cancer if you grieve as those who have no hope. Another song talked about hope. Paul uses this phrase in relation to those whose loved ones have died. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as those who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. There is grief and death. Even for the believer who dies, there's temporary loss. Loss of body, loss of loved ones here, and the loss of earthly ministry. But the grief is different, is permeated by hope. Man, that's what we got. If we don't have anything else, we have hope. We have believers in Jesus Christ. We have hope for eternity with God in heaven. Praise God for that. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Don't waste your cancer grieving as those who don't have this hope. 9, you will waste your cancer if you treat sin as casually as before. Are your besetting sins as attractive as they were before you had cancer? If so, you're wasting your cancer. Cancer is designed to destroy the appetite for sin. Pride, greed, lust, hatred, unforgiveness, impatience, laziness, procrastination. All these are the adversaries that cancer is meant to attack. Don't just think about battling against cancer. Also think about battling with cancer. All these things are worse enemies than cancer. Let the presence of eternity make the sins of time look as futile as they really are. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Luke 9:20-25. 10. You will waste your cancer if you fail to use it as a means of witness to the truth and glory of Christ. Christians are never anywhere by divine accident. There are often times when God provides divine appointments for us, if we're open to those, if we're looking for those. There are reasons for why we wind up where we do. Consider that Jesus said about this painful, unplanned circumstance. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This is an opportunity to bear witness. Luke 21:12-13. Franklin Graham talked about the Great Commission. Great Commission, of course, is going to all the world and what? Great disciples, or pardon me. Great disciples. The important thing is that as we do that, we have to share the gospel. You know, as we share, God does a work in bringing people to them, to themselves, and we can bear witness as we do those various things. So it is with cancer. This is an opportunity to bear witness. Christ is infinitely worthy. Here is a golden opportunity to show that he is worth more than life. Don't waste it. Remember, you are not left alone. You will have the help you need. My God will supply every need for yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. You know, in the we've been, Francis and I have been involved with Athletes in Action for a number of years, and minister a lot to athletes and coaches and so forth. They're pretty healthy folks, usually. They're pretty good shape, you know. Then we have an opportunity to go into the hospital ministry, you know. They're not always as healthy, not always as strong and so forth. But those opportunities have come to us over the years. Just recently, and the chance to be in the waiting rooms when I was having prostate cancer treatment. Francis is in the waiting rooms a lot longer than I am. I'm in taken care of in the treatment rooms and, dealing with the medical staff more. Francis is in the rooms, and we've had numerous opportunities to visit with people in those rooms. And you talk about an interest in wanting to be solitude. I'll tell you what, 90% of those people don't want to talk to anybody. They want to be out of there. They want to get that thing that and get out of there as fast as they can possibly do that. So it's interesting. So in most of the waiting rooms that we've seen, they always have a puzzle to do. And I don't even like to do puzzles. But I thought, you know, that's a good way to meet people, to get around this thing, you know, and try to get 1,000 pieces. The puzzle is this big, and it's 1,000. No, it's great. It's about that big, and it's 1,000 pieces. I mean, it's crazy. And one of the puzzles was they're all the same puzzle piece. They don't even give you any chance, you know. So it's crazy. But I thought we need to. Let's, you know. So she would be around people, and so we'd really get to know people with a goofy round, a goofy puzzle, putting that thing together, or at least scratching our head trying to figure how to put it together. But when we first went in there, we met one couple that had a grandson there with him, kind of a cocky little character. He happened to be a wrestler from Wisconsin, and I had a chance to visit with him a little bit, and we ended up giving them one of our evangelistic wrestling books called In His Grip, and the grand folks were going to read it and send it back to him. He had already gone back to Wisconsin. Another couple from Eads, Oklahoma Mountain, not Oklahoma, Eads, Colorado. It's like Oklahoma, but we spent 8 years in Oklahoma, so we know flat. Went from Missoula, Montana to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and I'll tell you what, I'm looking for the mountains, and there wasn't any mountains. In fact, is this another rabbit trail, Francis? In fact, there's only one set of mountains in Oklahoma. It's called the Arbuckle Mountains. They're not even high enough to be mountains, but they call them mountains anyway down there. Sorry, Oklahoma friends. But lots of opportunities. We gave Mary and Vinton, were the folks from Eads, and we had a chance to visit with them, and we had a chance to take them out to lunch and share with them. And then their son was a wrestler as well, so we gave him another one of those books and stuff, and hopefully God will use those and do that. I think, too, it's important to remember what the purpose for which Jesus came. And it's very interesting, in John 18:37, in his dialogue with Pilate, Jesus said, "You say that I am king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." If that was Jesus' purpose for coming into the world, it's also ours as believers in Jesus Christ. In conclusion, I'd like to read John 16:33. Jesus said here, "I have said these things to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." That's pretty much a guarantee. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God, in his mysterious and wise providence, sometimes allows his children to go through hardship and suffering so that we can experience God's mercy and power in delivering them. Or in fact, in delivering us. We will have tribulations in this world. It's a guarantee. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. I have a few questions for you and for me. Oh, I hope I have them somewhere. Uh-oh. Francis, help. Are they underneath my chair there? Oh, I can't even read those, though. Maybe I have you guys read them. Oh, here it is. Who's in charge of these papers anyway? Holy. How are you thinking about death, the brevity of life, and getting a heart of wisdom? How are you letting God use your trials to make you unshakable in your relationship and trust in Him? How are your trials giving you a more deep affection and caring heart for people? Are you finding hope and joy in your trials? Are you getting more serious in your trial, in your battle against sin, in your trials? How are you taking advantage of your opportunities to witness anywhere you are? Some questions to think about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the chance of looking in your word and, Lord willing, discovering some of the truths about being joyful in the midst of trials. Help us to do that. Please give us a heart that we can do that. Help us to allow you to renew our hearts day by day. May the trials that you give us drive us to you and a closer relationship with you. Help us to count every day as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing you. Help us to love one another and have caring hearts for people that are going through troubles or challenges. Help us to use every opportunity to bear witness for our Lord Jesus. Thank you for the hope and peace that you give us. Thank you for this very day. We ask you that you'll help us to take all these things to heart. In Christ we pray. Amen.